Major Spoilers theme song! Major Spoilers theme song!
Hey everyone, welcome to a special Major Spoilers podcast, Captain America the Winter Soldier edition. Let's go Major Spoilers roll call. Rob.
Hello.
D&D Brian.
Hiya.
Young Zach.
Hail Hydra.
All right, so we just got back from, be careful on the bottom there. We just got back from the very, very first showing of Captain America the Winter Soldier, and we're here to give you our thoughts, our ideas, our positive and negative reactions. I'm going to tell you right now, we are going to spoil the ever-loving heck out of this movie. So if you don't want to be spoiled, if you haven't seen Captain America the Winter Soldier, turn this off right now, because the first person that posts, "Way to ruin the movie for me because I haven't even gone to see it yet," you're going to be banned for life.
Banned from life.
You're banned from life as well. You will not be able to play the board game called Life.
That's horrible.
So Captain America the Winter Soldier, shield is being eaten from the inside. Initial reaction, Zach? Just initial reactions.
Initial reactions. How many lines do I get?
Whatever you want.
But. I'm going to take 5 lines. Favorite movie so far.
Okay.
And Marvel.
Okay.
I love how... we'll get into that later. Great action movie. I just loved it. It was good.
Brian?
Yes, it was very entertaining. I don't know if I would put it at my favorite, maybe.
Okay. We'll come back to that in a minute. Rob?
It was good. I'm going to probably go even lower than Brian with...
Really?
I didn't enjoy it as much as most of the other movies in the series. So
all right. Ooh. We'll come back to that here in a little bit.
We're going to have a fight.
Freaking loved this movie. By far the best Marvel movie so far. I think people know, if you've listened to the Major Spoilers podcast, I love the first Captain America movie. I think it's the best one of the entire franchise. This one topped that one, in my opinion. And here's why. Because this takes this idea of a World War II movie and literally moves us into Red Scare territory. Mm-hmm. Moves us into, you don't know who you can trust. You don't know who's the commie. You don't know who's the red. And, of course, with the Winter Soldier, with the communist underpinnings, really ties that all together really, really, really well. Mm-hmm. So, Captain America, it's several years after... after the events in New York, as they refer to it. And
is it several years?
They say events in New York. Let's just say 2 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you do it chronologically, you're after Thor.
Yeah.
Thor was what? Probably at least a year after New York.
Yeah.
I would say we might be real time after Thor, maybe 6 months after Thor took place, probably.
And Steve Rogers is still having trouble coping. But right away, he meets a new friend, a former soldier, or still soldier, working for the VA, in the form of, what's his name?
Sam Wilson.
Later, we know, turns out to be Falcon. Yeah. Which I thought the guy who played Sam Wilson, freaking great.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Really good.
I mean, talk about somebody who doesn't take a back seat. I mean, he is the secondary character here. But man, he steps up, you know, he becomes a sidekick, but man, he steps up and really holds his own throughout the entire piece. The actor does a great job bringing the character to life, the action scenes that he's in, everything. He doesn't come out as an over-the-top action hero.
No.
But no sooner does he meet him than Black Widow, Captain America have to go off and save a ship that's been overtaken. And we get introduced to one of the first villains, Batroc. You like that, didn't you, Rob? I heard you laughing. Yes.
Well, were you laughing because of who the actor was?
Oh, who
no,
was the
I
actor?
I was laughing because it's Batroc the Leaper,
oh,
dude.
Okay.
It's Batroc the Leaper.
See,
D-list villain.
The actor, why it's kind of important, especially their fighting style, was that was UFC fighter George St. Pierre. So,
yeah,
the grappling
no idea
style
who, neither of
was,
those guys
why maybe they went with him.
Maybe.
Because that's what he does.
And I really honestly thought we were going to see more of him throughout the movie. But as it turns out, Batroc gets taken down, and we start to learn a little bit that Nick Fury suspects things are going on inside S.H.I.E.L.D. that don't sit right with him. Of course, we later learn that Hydra has infiltrated infiltrated into S.H.I.E.L.D. and basically overtaken it. And the big plot is that these three helicarriers, the Helicool movie, that's what it was.
Yes.
These three helicarriers are going to go up into the sky. And essentially, the idea was to preventative measures. Should a hostile force think that they're going to attack, those are there. But S.H.I.E.L.D. wants to corrupt that, basically take over the world by targeting potential people who could cause problems with Hydra and take them down first. Something mm-hmm. like 20 million people that they want to take mm-hmm. down.
Yeah.
And the person responsible for implementing all of this software is, love this appearance.
That was fantastic.
Arnim Zola.
Mm. Mm.
Right? Oh.
He's the one that made the algorithm.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And
dies.
What's his character name? Just Zola?
Arnim Zola.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know if he had some crazy code name.
Big old android that doesn't have a head and has just a TV for a chest that's his face. And...
Well, but here, though, I think they did a great job where he's in this 1970s computer lab all on tape with 22,000 systems to house
his
brain. And what was really cool is I remember during the making of this that the character who did the voice, they did show, I remember seeing a picture up on Major Spoilers at one point where it's just him wearing these goggles mm-hmm. and people were like, well, what's he going to be in this role? He was only in for like less than a day.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, oh, maybe it's a flashback sequence. But no, man, this steps up and is a really key component into it. And
they also had the flashback sequence.
The flashback sequences that were really nice.
Mm-hmm. But I'm going to bet we haven't seen the last of him.
I would God, also I listen.
No. I bet we don't see the last of him. And then, let's see, who's the third? There's another. Robert Redford mm-hmm. plays Senator Robert Pierce, or the head of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
mm-hmm.
Who, again, we discover is a bad guy. And I love this as Robert Redford's role. I mean, I grew up watching Robert Redford in a number of different mm-hmm. roles, usually good guy roles, or guys that you want to root for. I love seeing him as a bad guy. Do you like that, Rob?
Yeah, he sold the part.
Oh, did he? Good.
Yeah, he was real good there. They did a good job of trying to establish, like, exactly which side is he on. They played mm-hmm. with it for a while. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
Zach?
Yeah, no, I thought it was a great character that gave you that kind of moral dilemma, because he wasn't crazy like Red Skull. Red Skull was obviously, like, mm-hmm. insane. This mm-hmm. guy's like, oh, no, we're going to make the world a better place. We're going to kill 20 million people,
mm-hmm.
but the world... for the foreseeable future, will be a great place. And so you get that kind of moral dilemma with this character.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, what is the moral dilemma? And right at the end of the movie, he does ask that right to Nick Fury and says, hey, man, you have this chance to make the world the safest place. It's only going to cost you this many lives. What do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And that does bring up that a really good moral question. Unfortunately, it's at the sake of your freedom
sure.
to do it, I think was... rather kind of mm-hmm. cool. Winter Soldier.
Thought they did a good job.
Yeah. I would love to see more of him.
I think we probably will.
I think seems like we're going to.
Yeah. He didn't seem to play quite as big of a part as I was expecting him to within this movie, really.
Mm, okay. Considering he's the secondary title character.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for us who are comic book fans, the reveal of Bucky Barnes was... expected. Yeah. I mean, we knew that was coming at some point in the piece.
But do you think
that the audience was surprised?
I think they kind of telegraphed it at the beginning.
Telegraphed it a little bit. I think that was one of the things that they think they could have done a little better was throw Bucky's face in there a couple more times before Winter Soldier space is mm-hmm. revealed.
Oh, like, you think more?
No, I think they hit it strongly enough.
Yeah.
I knew it was Bucky, but I didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
When it came out, when the mask comes off.
But
finally.
Did you hear people in the audience go,
oh, no,
I thought I did. I thought I heard people behind us. And again, we sat way close.
We didn't sit in the masses.
We didn't sit with
there was no one around us.
Thank goodness. Wasn't that a better movie going experience, Zach?
Yeah. Well, it helps if they didn't shower. Kept people away.
We had a conversation on the most recent Major Spoilers podcast, 567, I believe it was, about going to the movies and how we were talking about where we sit in the theater. And I like to sit way up front.
Yeah, you know that theater? I love that spot. If I ever go,
have you ever sat there before?
No,
first time, right?
Yeah, no. And that's the best place. And that
takes up your whole field of view. You're not distracted by anything except for Rob, who's over there going. But you know, if you sit way in the back of the theater, the screen is pretty small.
Yeah, I know that was a good place to sit.
Yeah, I don't know how that would be in 3D that close. I've never watched a 3D movie.
Well, let's not watch 3D movies.
Yeah, I should point out that we did not watch this in 3D. Yeah, so some people, I mean, there's a lot of moments that I think would really come out in 3D. A lot of bullet flyings, a lot of ballistics, the Captain America
shield. I'm sure
the
shield is 50% out of the screen in 3D.
Yeah.
I do think it could be better, like, with a higher frame rate.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because in some of the action scenes, it's pretty choppy.
Yeah.
That's actually where my biggest problem was a lot of the...
Between that and the shaky cam?
Yeah, well, it didn't feel like shaky cam, more like the person holding the camera was just trying to follow the action with the camera, which is where I actually had the biggest problem with the movie.
Why?
It was starting to make me sick.
Oh, just nauseous. Like, I wonder if it's because we were up too close, though,
That's possibly it. But, like, I don't want the camera moving during an action sequence that. If it's going to move, like, pan, well, maybe, so but not...
A couple of things to keep in mind when you're doing action sequences like that. What's his name? The Captain America who played... Chris Evans. And everybody else that he's fighting, except for MFA guy, are not trained in combat. Right.
Yeah.
So in order to make things look good, I mean, you and I can sit there and go 1, 2, 3 and practice these moves, but we're only going to make it go so far. So when you're dealing with people who are not experienced fighters, you do short clips, you do close fights so that you can cut it and make it look like it's a real high intense action scene. Otherwise, if you did it as a wide shot, it would look totally fake. Right. Now flip that over to martial arts experts, you know, like the Asian import movies that you see from China and Japan. When they do those extreme wide shots for the entire fight, it's because these people are perfectly trained in their art and you can, and they want you to show how skilled they are in their craft. So that's kind of why they do that. I think in this, I can see your point, because especially when they're up on the helicarriers at the end of the movie, there are times where it's like, intense. I wish that they could, you know, held that shot a little bit longer.
But taking over the boat at the beginning of the movie, I thought those action sequences were so well done.
Yeah.
So well done.
And
especially when he fights Batroc. Fighting sequence was amazing.
That was a lot more of what I was wanting with Captain America, just in general. Like that.
Oh, in the fight sequences. And there's a lot of hand-to-hand, like, close fight combat.
Since Incredible Hulk, when, you know, they showed the one agent guy who is taking some version of the super soldier serum. That's
the same thing that I got. When the first time that we saw... what's his name? Abomination.
Yeah.
The guy that took it. And we see him running across that field in that Hulk movie. I said, that's what Captain America is going to be like. And I couldn't wait to see that. And so I think we do see that in here.
Yeah.
I think, you know, my son found out that I was going to go see the movie tonight. And he was like, sure wish I could go see Captain America. He goes, I know it's PG-13, but Dad, you know I can handle that, right? He probably could, but this is a much more violent movie than I thought it would be for a Marvel movie.
I think they're starting to get more violent, because Thor killed people in Dark World. He killed a couple people in the beginning.
I haven't seen the second one.
But,
okay.
I mean, it's not like a huge problem, he does kill people.
Yeah.
And certainly, there's a big body count.
There's a huge body count. I mean, even Nick Fury gets killed in this movie.
Temporarily.
Well. Spoiler. Again, we told people that we're spoiling this. Was that a big surprise to anybody?
That he came back? No.
No, that he came back. You know, it was a big shocking when he did get shot the first time.
Here's why I thought it was kind of... I mean, ultimately, in the scope of things, Nick Fury is going to come back. Yeah. But there was a quote he released in an interview for this movie, like in Europe, earlier this last week, where he said, someone asked him about Avengers 2, and he said, well, I don't think they're going to be using me that much. And so then I was like, oh, well, it's because he's dead.
I honestly thought that was going to be one of the post-credit sequences.
What would have been, I know that we had to show the Nick Haiti Fury treatment. That's part of the... So a couple of things. I thought that they were going to hold off the Nick Fury, and it might almost have been better at the very end when Black Widow is about ready to release all of the information, mm-hmm. and Pierce is like, well, you need two Alpha Level mm-hmm. Clarence people. And he goes, yeah, the second one's on his way. And then at that point, you then see the helicopter, reveal. And then you see the feet boots. Step out and walk around. That would have been the perfect reveal, and I think that would have had yeah. more audiences going, oh my God, he's yeah. still alive! But then that would have, I think, instantly thrown into question, how is he still alive? Yeah. How is Agent Coulson still alive? Are yeah. these life model decoys? And that's what I was waiting for, a life model mm-hmm. decoy thing.
Yeah, I hope they never go that route. I mean, they're already established a revolving door of death within these movies, but I don't think they need life model decoys within the movie.
Well, they've mentioned it before.
They've mentioned it, but as jokes.
And what else did they mention this movie?
Oh, Stephen Strange.
That was the other thing. That, and I think all of us in the room like... The minute they go, oh, yeah, so we look for potential targets. Tony Stark, Doctor Strange, Stephen Strange. And it's like, and it's like Bruce Banner. And it's like, oh, crap, they just mentioned.
Yeah, Stephen Strange. All Stephen four Strange. Of us go.
I'm still hoping for not flat out science.
For
Stephen Strange, Doctor Strange.
I think the Doctor Strange movie or however they end up doing it, since, it's this massive...
We know it's coming.
Or if they don't.
Really depends on how they do the Iron Fist, mm-hmm. that thing coming out for Netflix. If they actually go Mystic with Iron Fist,
maybe,
and it works, then they'll be able to do Doctor Strange as a
Iron
magic
Fist
person.
Iron Fist is at least, I mean, if you fast track it, 2 years away. At most, 4 years away.
Oh, Iron Fist, no way.
Oh, wait, no, what is it?
Iron Fist is like a year.
Is he the second one?
Like
is he the second one?
Oh, is it three years away?
Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he could be
like
a ways away.
I just found out
when
away.
I read Zach's article.
Yeah.
There you go.
And edited it.
I can't.
Because Zach can't spell.
Black Widow. For hire. That has me so excited.
Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm glad she's in so many movies right now.
They moved her so far up from what we saw in Avengers.
Yeah.
Or even Iron Man 2.
Or Iron Man 2.
She was nothing.
Yeah. But I mean,
Iron Man
here
2,
we have
she wasn't
her as
supposed
a,
to be a whole lot until the very end.
And that was a good surprise in there. Yeah. But I think they really developed that character a lot more. Mm-hmm. I think that they made her work, and she's a strong character in this. Mm-hmm. She's just as equal, if not more, powerful than Captain America, at least as far as the intelligence level goes, mm-hmm. and the quote unquote spying goes, the espionage side goes. I just thought it was wonderful. I thought it was great. I like the fact that they're bringing in the little stingers that she uses to get people.
Yeah, that was cool.
I like that she's using the disguises that we see at the end. I like her little grappling things that shoot out of her wrists. All really cool stuff.
Did you see what necklace she was wearing?
Mm-mm.
It was a
diamond necklace.
No, it was an arrow.
An arrow.
Oh. I did not notice that.
Yeah, it was an arrow.
Which makes it interesting, like they seem to really kind of play up some romantic tension between her and
That's pretty
America.
Cool. I noticed that it was at one point it was just a bunch of diamonds, and I was like, does that mean something? I was trying to pay attention without...
There was a couple shots of it. Like, it's an arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they played up
the romantic tension between her and Cap all that much.
I don't think there was any romantic tension between them. I thought it was, here's a really hot girl teasing this guy that doesn't have a lot of experience with women,
mm-hmm.
and trying to get him out of his shell a little bit, and almost taking him on as a charity case. Oh, you poor guy, you don't have a lot of experience with women.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Blah, 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 blah. So that was... that was interesting, but I really like the Black Widow.
Yeah. Although that does bring up one of the issues I have, not really with this movie as mm-hmm. its own entity, but with the Marvel movie stuff, is where the heck was Clint this whole time? Iron Man 3, where the heck was Captain America when the president's getting threatened?
So that does bring up mm-hmm. something really important. There were no cameos from the other movies.
Mm-mm.
No,
just name drops.
We saw Thor. We saw Chris Evans appear as Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Loki appear as Chris Evans as Captain America.
Chris Evans was in the movie.
But he was Chris Evans was in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Evans was in there.
And we saw in Iron Man 3, we saw Bruce Banner appear. But we didn't get any of that in this one. And I was a little weirded out by that for some reason. And I'm not sure why.
But even in Iron Man 3, it bothered me too that, there's this big terrorist group threatening the president, and Captain America would be all over that.
That was going to be the problem once you do Avengers. That was going to be, you either have to just ignore it or put every single one of them in everything. Just like every comic book you read.
Yes.
Well, where is everyone else in this Hawkeye book? Well, they're all often, doing, the, they're all the doing all other stuff.
They're on the Savage Land.
And that's going to be an issue. But I think when I ended this movie, I felt this is a comic book movie because it is a Marvel comic book movie because you do not need to watch Captain America 1.
I think it helps a lot.
I think it helps a little bit. But there's enough flashbacks.
There's enough in the beginning of him through the Smithsonian. Yes. Mm-hmm. You get the almost the entire story.
Right, exactly.
And you don't need Avengers. You get more character building, but you don't need it. This is a self-contained movie.
It works really well. And for the espionage thriller spy movie, this is exactly what this is with the superhero wraparound of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that works well. We got to see Gary Shandling appear as the senator. Also, turns out to be a member of Hydra. Interesting. Yeah. Did you like that or not like that?
Oh, I saw you got
excited about Gary Shandling popping up.
Yeah, it was just one of those. Okay, yeah, keeping the continuity sort of thing.
He's one of the senators from Iron Man, right?
He's the one who threatened Iron Man every time.
Yeah, that's right.
And the fact that I don't know if.
What didn't you like about this movie?
The action sequences. I just didn't. It might just be the style of movie is just not what I enjoyed, but the action bothered me with the movement and everything making me a little nauseous. And I think it's just the straight up the style of the story and everything wasn't what I've come to enjoy the
from a superhero
big spectacle superhero movie.
I can see that because this is, I mean, and even the first Captain America movie was toned down quite a bit from supers, right? Mm-hmm. Where you've got these super crazy badass people doing super crazy badass things. Where here it's military. It's a military spy story. Mm-hmm. So I can understand that, and I can see where you're disliking.
I loved the first one though.
Did you really?
See, here's interesting. I hated the first one.
Really?
It is my least favorite of the Marvel movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Going into Avengers, it was my favorite one.
Oh, no. I disliked Captain America. Did not like it at all.
I didn't dislike it. I don't know. I liked it quite a bit. I thought it was like kind of like a lot of the good stuff from Sucker Punch, really.
I mean,
minus dragons. And...
Yeah. Now, we kind of knew what... I mean, did anybody really think that 20 million people were going to get killed in this movie?
No.
I mean, we knew that the good guys win and the bad guys lose.
Maybe they could have killed five. I would have been interested if they would have killed five.
Oh,
yeah, no, if they would have started shooting
a couple guns,
yeah.
That would have been interesting.
It would have been. I think it may have been a little bit more interesting.
Any of you catch any of the names that popped up?
I saw Stark.
That's the only one I caught was Anthony Stark.
And that's only because they used Stark Tower as that starting point. But I was trying to look to see if there was any other names.
I didn't see the
president.
The
president was one of the starting points. Some congress
members.
Maria Hill was another starting point.
Yeah, well, she had the pull out.
Oh, yeah. So what about Kobe Smulders showing up?
That was cool. Also, Danny Pudi.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was funny.
Like, hey, it's up, Ben.
Yes.
What are you doing here?
The other one, too, that I think, did it surprise you guys with Sharon Carter's appearance?
No.
Ooh. I mean, we saw Peggy, right? I mean, and everybody kind of expected, let's have a conclusion with Peggy. But almost like in the comic book, you know, the Sharon Carter character just kind of appears, and he doesn't make that connection that... Oh, this is the daughter of this girl that I was in love with all these years ago. She's been living right next door to me as an undercover agent, you know, Agent 13 spying on me for, you know, years or however long it's been. Mm-hmm. And her name is Sharon, and they don't say her last name. But I could hear a couple people in the audience go, ah, Sharon Carter. My understanding, too, and I'll double check this, but I'm pretty sure Agent 13 is supposed to show up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Sure there wasn't... featured as much. I mean, she got her own poster for this movie. She had her own character poster.
Yeah.
And she really wasn't in this movie that much.
Yeah, I think they're playing her up.
Yeah.
That does bring up a big question. What is going to happen with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. here, though?
I don't know. I have not heard whether it hasn't been renewed for season 2.
I have no idea.
I mean, that's...
I don't know.
I mean, that S.H.I.E.L.D.'s no more with this movie. That's going to be a huge thing if they do continue.
She's supposed to show up next week's the season finale.
Oh, okay.
I bet they figure out... S.H.I.E.L.D. will be disbanded, but they're still going to do something.
They're going to become rogue agents.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Carrying on the S.H.I.E.L.D. name.
Oh, maybe now they're... Because, you know, Nick Fury did say at the end of the movie that he was going to go overseas and track down these other people. So maybe that's what's going to happen here. Anybody notice the quote on Nick Fury's gravestone?
No, I didn't.
Oh, no, I missed
it. It's the line from Pulp Fiction where it's like, the path of the righteous man.
Oh, gosh.
Which I was like, wow. Oh, that's great. That
oh,
is
hey,
great.
Speaking of the end, I thought you made a noise. Like, oh, we went through all the characters. Yeah, they show the charred dude.
Yeah.
Who's charred man?
Okay,
that
so.
Was the guy in the building.
I know, like, but
that
who
was
is
the
he?
Guy in the building.
Why did you?
That,
yeah, why did
so
you guess?
So here's what happens. Why is he still alive? Because you're going to need somebody for Captain America to fight in the next movie. And in the comic books, there is a guy who gets so burned up that they put him on these painkiller things, and he gets jacked up. And I think he becomes a Captain America for a while. Do you remember this? It's like the it's like Captain America Red, White, and Blue series. And he plays the main bad guy, and he paints his face all this red stripes and white stripes, and he and Captain America have this big fight. I'm almost positive that that's the character that he will turn into, because he's addicted to – he becomes basically a drug junkie because of the constant pain that he's in.
Look forward to in Captain America 3.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to return, I'm sure, right?
Well, I mean, he still has, what, six movies on his contract? Four movies
well,
on his contract?
Well, you know, what was it in Rolling Stone where he basically said he's done?
He's done once his contract's up.
Yeah, he's really done acting, and he wants to retire, and he kind of almost doesn't like – I don't think he said he doesn't like the Captain America role, but the problem is, and this is a thing that I need to double check, the actors, all these actors are going to be typecast, unfortunately,
forever.
And and I think there's something in the Screen Actors Guild, and this is the part I need to double research, and maybe one of our listeners out there can fill me in and get me up to speed, but I'm pretty sure that after the third time you play a character, they have to back a big truck up to your house and dump off tons and tons and tons of money, because now you're typecast after the third time you've played that character.
Interesting.
And it's going to be very, very hard for you to get another role any other time. And so a lot of characters, like there's a lot of question of, will there be a third Iron Man movie?
Fourth
Iron Man movie, because Tony Stark has played Iron Man in three movies right now.
And four movies.
But it wasn't called Iron Man. Mm-hmm. That other movie was
somehow
not called Iron Man. It was called Avengers. Same way with what's another one recently that has come out where they actually the title has been changed so that that character is not in that series of movies, but he's that character in that movie.
Bond stuff, maybe?
No, it's not James Bond. I want to say for some reason I want to say it's one of the Star Wars movies, but that's not it.
Is it Pirates?
Indiana Jones.
It could be Indiana Jones. I'll have to go back and look.
Oh, no, Pirates
makes some sense, though, because there's four.
Right. So, I want to look at that, but, Chris Evans does a bang-up job, though.
No, it's really good.
I mean, he really plays the part of Captain America really well, a soldier that does everything that he says that he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I were going to say anything bad about this movie, I thought it's somewhat predictable. I mean, you kind of knew what was going to happen, that nobody was really going to die, except for all the bystanders and that one guy got thrown into the blades of the...
bunch of randomly named...
Innocents died, I guess.
Non-combatants.
I'll go with someone probably died.
Is the better.
Three pretty big ships fell out of the sky.
Yeah,
someone,
they basically all seemed to land
in the
water.
In the same place that they took off from.
Well, one kind of fell into the hangar. Someone died.
Well, again,
non-combatants, though.
Oh,
I'm
reasonably certain
office
anybody
workers.
That died was either S.H.I.E.L.D. or Hydra.
Office workers at S.H.I.E.L.D.?
There were people in the streets that died during those car chase scenes.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Definitely.
Did you like the car chase scenes? Did you like the violence level? Did that bother you guys at all? It bothered me just a tenth because I was like, holy crap, this is something I cannot let my son see until he's older.
I could definitely see that issue, but I don't know. I thought it helped to really, give the tension there, when they are dragging the one woman crying out of the bus. Captain America fell into it. It's like, wow,
I'm with Brian. I think it sold the level that Hydra was willing to go to see this through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the violence is definitely a higher notch than probably the previous Marvel stuff, but
certainly.
Everybody likes Stan Lee's appearance. Sorry, Brian.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
That's cool. Yeah, Stanley's appearance, it was good. It was another cameo that was amusing.
It was a decently funny one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone got a chuckle.
Of course, because they knew it was Stan Lee.
Well, yeah.
There's only one old guy in this whole universe. It's Stan Lee.
He's everywhere.
Did you like the cinematography and everything, Zach, from the storytelling standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, nothing really jumps out at me as, well, that was off.
I like the color palette of this movie. It's very cool.
Sometimes I felt like there were more time put into some special effects than others, some visual stuff. I was like, oh, that was rushed. But it was also a really quick shot.
Oh, yeah.
And I say Rust, I mean, that doesn't match as well as some of the other stuff.
Yeah, and some of the prosthetic stuff kind of you could notice right away, because I think one of the things on Captain America's helmet is there's fake ears on the outside, and the first time that he's starting to take off the helmet, you can see the ears kind of go with it. I was like, oh, okay. That's cool prosthetic.
I didn't notice that.
I love the Steve Rogers super soldier costume. That is my favorite Steve Rogers costume. That really simple, the two bars star.
Yeah,
like the one that he was in at the start of the movie.
Like the covert ops one.
Yeah. The where they got the design from was from when he was the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. a little while ago after...
In the comics.
I think after Fear itself.
Yeah.
And he didn't go by Captain America because Bucky was Captain America. And it was called Steve Rogers Super Soldier was the miniseries that I picked up. But that's been my favorite Steve Rogers costume ever since I saw it the first time.
Did it ruin it then for you that he had to go to the quote unquote traditional Captain America suit? I mean, Captain America's costume is chainmail, you know, special whatever. But
I want to see the scale mail at some point. I'm guessing they maybe tried it and it just didn't work, and that's why.
It would have almost been really interesting if he was wearing the World War II. The true World War II first Captain America one, where it was the leather and the helmet, and
that's what I thought they were going for.
What I thought too, but
the not his Avengers uniform.
Yeah.
That disappointed me a little when it wasn't the World War II uniform.
Just because he stole it from the museum.
Mm-hmm. But at one point
in World War II, he switched over to that uniform that we saw him in the Avengers in.
Yeah,
but I was waiting for the leather
costume
jacket.
Upgrade was from. Because Coulson says he had his hand in designing it in Avengers.
Oh, okay. Because in the World War II movie clips that they were showing, they're showing Captain America in those in that costume.
Are we gonna have to go back and watch?
Yeah, we may have to go back and watch. Do you want to see this again?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll watch this again.
I think I'd watch it again just for all the detail stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
But I think because of the way that you know that it ends,
sure,
it's a little bit spoiled. I mean, it's almost to the point where I know what's coming up, so the anticipation or the excitement is going to be lessened quite a bit. Where there are some movies where, like Back to the Future, when it, you know, the bell rings, the clock rings on the car, and he can't get it started, there's still that little bit of, is he going to make it? But here it's like, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, he's going to get the thing, and it's going to fire.
We kind of knew what was going to happen. Like,
there
wasn't the... For the fate of the film never really got to me. Like, suspense in individual sequences was fine, but it's like, they're going to save the day. It's going to end on a happy note. I was a little surprised that
really a happy note.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to end on the heroes succeeding.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, there was no real big surprises in this film. Like, the only thing that, Fury getting shot was the only thing that was even just a temporary surprise. And
it was pretty cool. I mean, for a death sequence and everything, for a, you know, the big let's kill Fury moment in the movie, that was a pretty good action sequence.
Especially the whole the sequence leading up to it was nice. And then the actual moment of three shots through Steve Rogers' wall.
Yeah.
And the chase down, that was good.
Yeah, it was really good.
I did think the taking out S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. Was a little bit of a surprise. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't expecting them to
get rid of S.H.I.E.L.D.
entirely like that.
Well, but it kind of sets up
resetting it to scratch, basically.
Sure, because it kind of just basically sets it up with the only protective group now is the Avengers, and not the Avengers working for S.H.I.E.L.D. or S.H.I.E.L.D. doing its own thing. It's, you've only got the Avengers to protect you. And that could kind of set up the Avengers mansion and all of that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, when they did show Stark Tower, it already had the Avengers logo on it.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Cool.
Who was the dude in the second post-credit?
Okay, so let's talk post-credits. The first post-credit I had a question about, because at first I was like, oh my gosh.
Okay. So
the first post-credit is the two Nazi guy or German guys.
That guy. Who is that
through.
Guy?
You know who I thought it was?
Huh.
Because it's wearing the monocle and the crop-shaved head, even though it's not Hugo Weaving, I was like, this is the Red Skull. Hmm.
That's what I thought that right away, and then it's like, that's not Hugo Weaving.
No,
right, but Hugo Weaving wanting
Baron
out.
Zeman?
Yeah, Hugo Weaving was never going to play that character again, but if it's the Red Skull just wearing a face, and we've seen the Red Skull wear fake faces before that it's not always the same character.
Always have a different face.
I was just waiting because of the monocle. I was like, that's got to be Red Skull.
What was that? Loki's
Loki pokey stick.
Yes, yeah. The Loki pokey stick. Yeah.
And then...
they said his name was Stuker.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Stuker or Stricker?
Stricker, maybe.
Stricker.
I'm sure that's a Marvel character. One of our people will jump in.
Yeah, I actually know that character. I recognize. He's Nazi super scientist, mostly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But
works
but
for Hydra. The bigger reveal.
I was waiting for AIM agents to show up in this.
That's what I was thinking there.
That was Iron Man 3, AIM.
Yeah.
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 They kind of mentioned in Agents of
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Dropped
the ball on AIM there. But. In Iron, like that was Iron Man 3 really dropped the ball on AIM.
Oh yeah, Iron Man 3 wasn't very good.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was pretty horrible.
It was okay. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the first ending sequence.
Well, we didn't finish that.
The twins.
We didn't finish it.
Yes. I know that was the first ending sequence with the Loki pokey stick and the. Then we get a second one at the very very end.
Mm-hmm.
Which was Bucky.
Oh, this isn't the first one.
We're telling you we're not done with the first one yet.
Yeah. The second one was actually relatively simple. It's Bucky learning who he was.
Yeah. So the second part, we get to see two caged up characters, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in cages. And Von Strucker basically saying, they haven't seen everything that we have planned.
Which was like, how bad do I want X-Men and Fox and Marvel to cross this crap, because that was so like First Class experimenting on the mutants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing too. I mean, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are the only two that I think get shared.
Between
the two distributors of the studios. Rob asked earlier, he said, well, you know, this is the only movie
between now and
Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron is Guardians of the Galaxy.
But technically, in the movies produced by that Marvel Studios has a hand in, they still participate in the Sony, and they still participate in the Paramount and the Sony and the Fox.
Approval over their characters and what they're doing.
And they reap all of the rewards.
But it's not connected.
They're not going to be the same Quicksilver.
They're different actors.
And I don't know that Scarlet Witch is going to be in Days of Future Past.
I think she is. I think those are the two characters.
For whatever reason, I don't remember hearing anything about Scarlet Witch from Days of Future Past, but I know that Quicksilver is both of them.
Days of Future Past.
I would be really surprised if Scarlet Witch doesn't show up with Quicksilver showing up, but I don't remember hearing anything about
what the Quicksilver hook is going to be. I wonder if it's going to be one of those like Barry Allen moments where he crosses over into the other universe because
God,
he's so
be
fast.
Awesome. Or they should just pretend that they should like, so Quicksilver does something in Days of Future Past, right? There's some weird item right there. So you go to Age of Ultron, and he's just like zipping around, and then you see him, because I like the speed effect where he's like just spinning, cutting between the room. You just see him disappear. So he cuts away, he comes back into the screen, and he has just some weird item that was in Days of Future Past. They don't make a big deal. They just do it and don't even let Fox or Sony Fox know.
Fans.
Don't let Fox know and just be like, holy crap, they're going to do it. And then they just never cross it over. They just leave it at that.
Was there anything...
Just tease as hard as possible.
Was there anything were you expecting something different in the post credit moments?
I knew Bucky was going to show back up in the post credits, but that wasn't exactly how I expected it. I liked it, especially with the fact that they went to the Smithsonian multiple times throughout the movie. Anyways,
early on, I was expecting the Nick Fury. Rejuvenation, coming back to be one of the teaser things at the end.
I knew Fury was going to come back before the end, mostly because I was surprised how many people actually stayed through both things.
I think a lot of people knew that there were two credit sequences.
Finally.
Eventually we're getting there.
Yeah, because there's been at least one after every friggin' Marvel movie
entirely. Sometimes the second post-credit scene doesn't really do anything.
Thor was the same way with the dog thing.
Sounds like they're starting to do that. Yeah. Put the more important one at the start of the
right
credits.
At the end.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've just seen people just get up and leave before that even goes. And I think most of the theater actually stayed through both of them.
I think that's part of the fact that we also talked about on the Major Spoilers podcast is that young Zach was there. And apparently, because I was sitting with Zach as... the theater was filling up, about 90% of the people kept going up and going, "Hey, Zach. Hi, Zach." and Zach's comment was, "I'm kind of a
big deal.
Kind of a big deal." Yeah, right. People know me. But I think, and this goes back to the discussion that we had the other day, the people that go to see an opening night movie are people that are diehard fans. It's not a casual grandma and grandpa going, "Well, what are we going to do tonight?" Mm-hmm. These are people that know and have some investment in whatever that movie is, whether it's you know, the shooting with the food thing, catching fire, catching fire, Hunger Games, or whether it's
with the food.
Yeah, well, that's what
amazing.
It is.
No, that's brilliant now that I think about it. No, that's amazing.
Or whether it is, you know, Sin City, or whether, you know, whatever the franchise is, people have some kind of investment in it. And so, you know, the people that go there tonight, I think we're pretty savvy to say we need to stick around through both credits at that point.
When I went to the midnight showing of Avengers, no one's there. It's people that let half the theater was gone before the Thanos scene.
Well, let's be honest. None of those post-credit credits mattered at all.
No.
Nothing has come to fruition on you. Well, the last one, nothing could. The first one...
Return to the Shawarma.
When will we ever see Thanos? Who the frick knows?
Yes, since he's not...
Never, probably.
In the next one.
Since he is apparently not in Guardians of the Galaxy either.
Yeah.
Wow. That we know
that's
of.
The, that's the only of thing so far, yeah. that I'm fine with that Marvel does, but it kind of is like, oh, like they always go a movie ahead. They jump a movie with their post-scene credits.
Well, here's
Thor teased Guardians.
Right.
This teases Avengers.
Right.
But Guardians is next. They always jump a movie. I was like, the next movie I want to watch is in 4 months. Give me something for that.
Well, and here's what I was thinking. I was really expecting the post-credit to be Ant-Man.
Oh,
I was really expecting something with that. Or the minute that they mentioned Stephen Strange, I was like, now we have to quick cut of a guy meditating, opening his eyes and going, there's something wrong. You know, that's Stephen Strange
awesome.
Doing his thing.
But that's and, like 3 years away.
Yeah, no, but still.
Yeah.
It's not even
But
announced.
I was really expecting an Ant-Man.
That'd have been cool. That'd have been awesome.
An Ant-Man
That'll be end of Guardians of the Galaxy. Because they'll skip Avengers and they'll go to Ant-Man.
Probably.
Yeah. Probably. That's because Guardians of the Galaxy should lead into Avengers, I think.
Who knows?
Not
Doesn't
necessarily.
Matter. Probably won't.
The other thing that was really surprising to me, and it's something that I thought might have been an interesting choice to do, especially with Age of Ultron coming, is in the sequence where Nick Fury is driving away and he's talking to the AI in the car, I was really thinking that at this point, the Jarvis tech should have been appropriated by S.H.I.E.L.D. or it being licensed to S.H.I.E.L.D. to be all over the place, and I was expecting the Jarvis voice to be heard as the AI for that S.H.I.E.L.D. car, because Tony's already given them the repulsor technology to put into the helicaractors, and if you're setting it up that Tony Stark created Ultron as a rogue Jarvis AI, what better place for it to be corrupted than... With the Arnim Zola's Hydra.
Zoloft takes over Jarvis.
Zoloft takes over Jarvis. If you're not so, feeling right.
Anyone Zoloft's else disappointed that we didn't get to see the freaking flying car?
What? You know, well, that's,
Lola?
You know, as far as
no,
other,
not
as far
Lola.
As
his vehicle, like, he,
oh yeah, he kept saying,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Fly. Yeah. That's the other one though. I was really kind of surprised that they didn't show in there was Agent Coulson.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's got his own series and everything.
I don't know.
But...
they keep trying to apparently delay him for the films, I guess. Because, like, even when, like, Sif showed up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., he's like, yeah, don't tell Thor. I want to tell him myself I'm back. And,
I don't think... I think Coulson's going to come back into the movie verse in Age of Ultron.
Mm, okay.
Probably. Maybe.
I haven't seen that Sif episode.
I think they haven't decided, possibly.
That's possibly it.
It also...
kind of depends on how they resolve the current storyline.
The S.H.I.E.L.D. thing?
The Sky thing.
Yeah.
Who she becomes.
Did you like the in credit sequence, the animated portions of it?
Oh yeah,
you know.
I always love
talked,
it.
Remember
always
we talked about Saul Bass before?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
a lot of the stuff that he did for Vertigo and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
Mad World.
Yeah.
This felt
Super
like
Saul
a modern.
Bass.
This felt like a modern version of
everything,
Saul Bass.
Everything kind of forming in and on itself, and everything.
But with a 3D aspect. If Saul Bass would have done it, would have been all flat 2D stuff.
Sure.
But this was in that 3D.
If Saul
field.
Bass was alive today, he would probably do.
Is he still alive? I don't know.
I have no idea. he's not working anymore.
I think he
Seriously?
Did something. Look it up.
I'm looking up right now.
Look it up, Saul Bass.
I just assumed he was dead.
He
that
might be dead, but
I
know that I've
Mr.
seen
Bass.
Something recently, and I was like, that feels very Saul Bass. And then I was
See
like,
the
oh, crap, that is
bassy.
Saul Bass.
Saul, that sounds very bassy.
I thought it was really simple.
It is, and that's what
yes.
it is.
It looks good, but
it
was
really
good.
Very modern.
Saul Bass.
And if, yeah, let's see. Siri, is Saul Bass still alive?
Died in 96.
Okay, so been relatively recent.
Saul Bass died April 25th, 1996 at age 75.
In Los Angeles.
Thank you, Siri.
Beat you, Siri. Yeah, no, it did. Marvel really does fantastic animated end credit sequences. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that was probably the best part of Iron Man 3. And I really like this one, too.
Yeah, this was, again, by far my most favorite movie. But, you know, there are some things that you can poke holes at. Did you like the Falcon wings?
Yes.
Oh, yes, so yes. Cool. That was great.
That was one of the things that I was really excited about when
the
I saw it.
The fact that they had the gun holsters in the wings. And
In the previews. That was the only thing that actually caught my attention in the previews. Mm-hmm. And that's mostly because I actually tend to stay away from all the preview stuff so I can just watch it as I know I'm going to the movie.
No,
I don't need
ahead.
To be
yeah.
thing. But I saw that they had cast him and saw the wings and was like, yes. It looks almost identical to the ultimate version of him.
Yeah.
And again, that's where a lot of this is coming from. Mm-hmm.
At least
it's really interesting because I have a Lego set. I did a Lego build recently. It's the Hulk Lab Smash, which is an AIM agent place. Mm-hmm. And one of the figures that they have is a minifig Falcon character.
And he's in the red-white costume.
And he's in a red-white costume with red wings in that set. And so I was kind of half expecting something like that in the movie. I know the times that we have seen him, we've seen what it looks like, but I was not expecting those mechanical wings to be as fluid as they were to actually move like
really
wings.
Good.
I thought they would be like little,
kind of just like a glider, just
paraglider kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like we see Nick Fury use the old Nick Fury, the original Nick Fury use, where he's flying around with the rocket pack and shooting stuff out of the sky. So, bottom line, Rob, or anything else that we need to talk or you guys want to talk about or, acting good all around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
What did you not like, Ryan? What did you not like?
Like I say, probably just the some use of the shaky cam was a little distracting, but it really wasn't all that bad in this movie.
Okay.
Like I said, the camera felt less shaky and more just like the camera person was...
It was just whipping.
He was trying to follow the action, which...
They were trying to cover up the gaps in the action.
What about you? What things did you not like?
What did I not like... I don't know. That's probably something. I really liked Winter Soldier's arm.
That's
pretty
cool.
I think it was pretty awesome. I'm looking forward to some cosplay.
I guess I just don't understand why Steve just wasn't continually chopping at that arm with his with that shield.
Yeah, because, and it like showed like the one weak point that he hit with the shield.
I would have just kept chopping at that part until the arm came completely off. But whatever.
I think I think we've hit on before is just the predictability of the ending, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just everything kind of felt predictable and I haven't read the Ed Brubaker run that this is kind of based on.
It was neat seeing those names in the special thanks.
And Brubaker were in there.
And Brubaker.
Yep. I want to go back and read the comic now this is based on. But I think it was a little bit paint by numbers. But I think it was made up for by the acting and the action sequences and the fact that this wasn't a quote-unquote typical superhero movie. Mm-hmm. You had heroes who were superpowered and they were doing spy stuff, and I liked it. So bottom line for you, Rob?
It was good.
Do you recommend people go see it or not see it?
Yeah, I'd say go see it, yeah.
You got a meatloaf rating or a
meatloaf
star?
Meatloaf rating, 3.5 slices.
Okay. Brian?
I just think it was real good. I'm not ready to put it above Avengers just yet, but it was really entertaining. I would probably give it a solid 4.
4 slices of meatloaf from D and D Brian.
My thing is, I think every Avengers movie that comes out now might end up being my favorite, or not Avengers movie, favorite Marvel movie will end up being my favorite Marvel movie, especially with this. Not because it's fresher, because like Thor was my favorite when that came out, and now this is. Because they have to get away.
Thor 2
was good.
Thor 2 was really good. And they have to get away from the origin story of the characters. Yeah. And now they get to delve into different territories of what people... Because people, I think, are tired of origin stories for the most part. And we want to see the characters in different aspects, and that's what they have to go to now. Yeah. You even got the origin story of the Avengers, essentially, in Avengers. Right. So now we have to get away from all of that and do new stories, and that's what I'm really looking forward to in this. So you should go out and watch this. I'm giving it 4.5 meatloafs.
Yeah, I really like this movie, even though it was a little paint-by-numbers in a lot of places. It's my favorite movie right now. Yeah, I know Avengers was really good. I know Thor 2 was really solid. But this really did it for me, and I liked it a lot, and I've got to give it 4.5 slices of meatloaf there. Can't go with the full 5 because I don't think it's perfect.
No.
I think there are some, not necessarily big plot holes, but I think there are things that are just a little bit more predictable in this piece, and I think that's what kind of brought it down for me. So, listeners, I think that wraps it up. Hopefully you enjoyed our discussion. These are literally our gut reactions. 20 minutes after getting out of the theater, we plopped down in front of the recording equipment to do this for you because we enjoy creating content with you and sharing our love of everything geek and nerd and comic book and pop culture-y. And if you want to help us out, head over to majorspoilers.com. Click on that Amazon link. Go buy the Captain America movie, the first Captain America movie. You can get it on Blu-ray. Looks fantastic. Get all the special features if you haven't gotten them already. And the best thing is it doesn't cost you any extra to buy any of the Marvel movies. A little bit comes back our way, helps us out week after week. If you thought this episode was something really cool and you were surprised that we did it and you want to see us do more things like this, maybe consider becoming a Major Spoilers VIP. Maybe this episode was worth 50 cents. Head over to Major Spoilers, become a VIP. We've got a bunch of different levels, a $2, a $5, a $10 a month. Every little bit helps. It helps us move forward with the things that we're doing at Major Spoilers, and maybe we'll be able to do more of these in the future with your help. What's the next big movie coming out that's geeky and pop culture-y?
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Beginning of next month, yeah.
It's May 4th.
There's got to be something coming
out.
There's got to be something coming out in the next couple of weeks.
I'm so looking forward to Guardians.
Yeah, Guardians is August 1st.
I know. But
Days of Future Past is like the 20th. No, it's 23rd of May.
Oh, it's the 23rd of May?
Yeah.
So two big ones in May.
So what do we have for the summer?
Transformers is June.
That exists.
Yeah, that's going to make a lot of money. Guardians of the Galaxy is
August
in
1st.
Beginning of August. Godzilla is somewhere in May. I think it's the weekend before X-Men or weekend after X-Men.
Let's see. So next week, April 11th. April 11th, we have really nothing. Draft Day, Oculus, Rio 2.
Oh, Draft Day. Good God.
April 16th, Heaven is for Real. April 18th, A Haunted House 2. April 25th.
What about that Lucy movie?
May 2nd, Amazing
Lucy
Spider-Man. Oh, man, that Lucy movie
looks awesome.
Really good.
That's not until
next year,
something.
Right?
It's on the site. We haven't. It didn't show the... First off, that wasn't the full trailer that's online. If you want to watch the full trailer, it's on Major Spoilers. And there's a couple extra scenes, and it gives you the release date, which I think is probably July. June is Jupiter Ascending.
Oh, yeah, that'll be good. I mean, we could go do this for every single movie with support from our favorite fans, our favorite spoilerites. Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return, Friday, May 9th. May 9th.
When's Maleficent come out?
Oh, Neighbors comes out.
Funny.
That looks pretty funny.
I like Seth Rogen.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Definitely. Listeners, be on the lookout. We will have a talkback, Major Spoilers talkback for Captain America, the Winter Soldier, up on the site very soon. Probably within hours of this one going up, so you can share your thoughts, your reactions to everything Captain America. And again, well, if you've made it this far and you haven't seen the movie yet, man.
So now that we told you not
totally
to listen
not
to this,
sorry.
Horrible choice.
X-Men: Days of Future Past, Friday, May 23rd. Maleficent, Friday the 30th.
Oh, Maleficent man. Looks
Maleficent.
Interesting.
Yeah, that looks really good.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Her cheekbones scare me.
Yeah.
Terrify me.
Zach, 22 Jump Street comes out June 13th.
21 Jump Street was a big surprise for me.
Yep.
One of my friends made me watch it. Peed myself. I was laughing.
How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Ooh,
and then
going
to
be fantastic.
Maybe.
And
hopefully.
Then June 27th, Transformers 2, Age of Extinction. And also that Snowpiercer movie.
Is that the one on the train?
Yeah.
That looked really weird.
That looks really dumb. Apparently it
didn't
deviated. Quite a bit from the original.
Previews come out like 3 years ago?
Yes. Let's see. July 2nd, nothing. July 11th, and So It Goes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Ooh. Yeah, Dawn.
18th is Jupiter Ascending, Planes, yes. Fire, and Rescue.
No.
Friday, the July 25th, the Hercules, Sex Tape, and Step Up All In.
Sex Tape looks funny. You should go watch the Red Band trailer.
Yes.
Okay.
And then in August, we have Guardians of the Galaxy. Yes. That's August. Or I'm sorry, that is July 20th.
Lucy is the 8th of August.
Okay. 100 Foot Journey into the Storm, Lucy, and that's Luc Besson. That's the same weekend that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comes out. Expendables 3, Rob, you seem to like that trailer.
I didn't watch Expendables 2 yet, but...
Yeah, me too.
I think I had to actually go to Expendables 3 in the theaters.
August 22nd, Frank Miller's Sin City, A Dame to Kill For.
There we go.
Oh, yeah.
And then August 29th...
Hollywood's giving me a lot for my birthday this year.
The Loft, Underdogs, which is not Underdog with another character. And then in September, to wrap up the summer... Nothing on Friday the 5th, Addicted, which I don't know what that is. The 12th, we've got No Good Deed, Search Party, This Is Where I Leave You. The 19th, Dolphin Tale 2, The Maze Runner, and Walk Among the Tombstones. And then the 26th, The Box Trolls, The Equalizer, and Laggy.
Wow, so that sounds like a horrible month of movies.
September sounds like a really
something will get
bad
announced.
Month.
Some stuff will get announced.
That wouldn't have been cool as if they would have put at the end credit, you know, a movie that you weren't expecting, and they've kept it quiet this entire time.
That's what I wrote an article about it.
And then they... Boom, dropped you right there.
That's what I'm
there.
Saying. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, it would have been. All right.
Captain America returns in Doctor Strange. What?
Yeah. September 2014.
Yeah, in September. Yeah,
Captain
September.
America returns in Great Lake Avengers.
Yes.
Oh, man. That would be great to do a franchise on that. I'm looking forward to see Wouldn't what they do with Netflix. With yes. that with that
oh,
deal,
gosh.
So that'll be cool. Mm. All right, listeners, thank you for listening. I'm going to edit this down, post it. Well, not edit down, just clean it up from all the background noise and to edit out Rob. And then we will see you on the flip side. There's a Zach on Film coming up shortly. This week it is, what is it?
Thing.
The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's a good
Check
episode.
It out.
It's a good episode.
And then, of course, you can catch D&D Brian and Rob on the next Critical Hit. That's also coming up in a little bit in your Major Spoilers Podcast Network Master Feed. Got to shorten that down to something else, but just the Master Feed. Whole lot going on at Major Spoilers. It's all because of you that we do this, and we love you all for it. And we'll talk with you real soon.
If you have any questions, comments, topic ideas for future shows, or would like to sponsor a show, send an email to podcast@majorspoilers.com. Visit majorspoilers@majorspoilers.com and be sure to check out the Major Spoilers Forum. You can also follow Major Spoilers on Twitter at twitter.com/majorspoilers.
Find the X-ray vision of a Superman. I could save some bucks and stand around and read through the covers of the comics on the rack. And although every other page would be backwards, I suppose, I could still read the evens and the odds. Well, I don't know. Guess I haven't thought this all the way through. Plus, as soon as the comic book store guy knew, he'd make me wait out on the corner. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Oh, wait, I think I found a better way. If I was Hulk in green or gray, I could bust through that brick wall, take their comic books away. But then the little me would deal with all the tanks and bombs and guns. Have you tried to read a series with all that going on? Guess I need to rethink this plan. How would you bag and board your comics with such huge hands? Guess I already told ya. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, 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 yeah. What a major spoiler.
Major Spoilers is copyright 2014.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.